that the slopes can be only so level, and we're going to go on to that. Or perhaps that one of the things that we're going to do is put a mandatory life jacket on Alaskans before you get into the bathtub. Ridiculous, right? That's how ridiculous this particular piece of legislation is. Let us not infringe on the individual rights of our Alaskans. And I think that we need to quit right here. Let's vote this one down.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let's don't quit quite yet, because I'd like to go back to the points that I raised earlier. I believe they are valid. I do not believe that they were answered. Directing your attention to page 1, line 12, again it says, may not occupy a motor vehicle. And it goes on to say, while in operation unless restrained by a safety belt. Now, Mr. Speaker, if you turn to the back again, and the exemption is if the motor vehicle is not equipped with safety belts. Well, in the issue that I raised initially, obviously that vehicle is equipped with safety belts. Not enough for 5 passengers. But it is equipped with safety belts. 2 in the front, 2 in the rear. Suppose I have 3 people in the back. Under this legislation, I submit to you that I am in violation of the law because the front seat and 2 rear seats are equipped with safety belts and the center is not. In a van that has more than 2 seats, the third one being a removable seat and the third one not having safety belts, I submit to you, Mr. Speaker, that you are in violation of the law because, in fact, the vehicle does have safety belts, but not enough. Thank you.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. The reason I introduced the bill wasn't because I thought it up, but I became convinced that that if there is a law on the books in Alaska that require people to wear seat belts, there will be fewer dead people next year as a result of highway injuries. The Alaska Highway Users Federation for Safety and Mobility and the Automobile Safety Foundation predict that 35 people died in 1985 as a result of no seatbelt law. How does that work? Well, for example, and these are statistics that you can refute, but I've become convinced they're accurate and they're usable. In California, they had a seatbelt law that became effective in 1986. The usage went up to 53% to 72%, and as a result, deaths from auto accident induced head injuries reduced 25% the first year. Hawaii, 1985, usage went up to 72%. Deaths dropped by 56%. New York, 1984, usage went up 52%. Over 850 lives were saved the following year and a half. Texas, 1985, usage went up to 66%. As a result, fatalities dropped 13.3% during the first 6 months. The point is, if there's a law, more people are going to buckle up, when you have more people buckling up, there are fewer dead people, fewer neck injuries, fewer paralyzed people, and I think that's a good reason to have the law on the books.
Representative Donnelly, you've been seeking the floor.
Could we have a brief at ease, Mr. Speaker?
Would the House please stand at ease? I know that there are a lot of concerns with this, and this bill would be available for reconsideration. So I'm not saying that you have to, but I'm suggesting that we move through this so the call of the House can be lifted. Before the at ease, we had the bill before us. Would the clerk please read the title of that bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 167, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to mandatory use of safety devices in motor vehicles.
Any further debate?
Question.
Representative Boucher.
Now, I haven't spoken on it. My comments are going to be brief. Evidently, the total purpose of this bill is for the safety of an estimated 35 human lives. And we have been here about 3 hours, You know, I looked through the series of bills that we have in here, and languishing in committee are bills that would protect our young people from drugs and our citizens from violent crime. I sincerely hope that at some time during this process, that minority of people out there is given as much attention as you've given to these 35 lives you're trying to protect today.
Any further debate? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be very brief, and I just have a question, and it's on page 3. I got some comments I want to make, but at page 3, a person who violates, and it goes on to say, shall provide a child safety device or safety belt. Why all of a sudden have we got to change this? We already have a law that speaks to child restraint, the child restraint bill. We already speak to that. Why I can see now where a person's going to have to go back and put seat belts in their cars if they've got 4 or 5 kids or whatever it may be. But that, I'd like to have that question answered. But I just want you to give some thought here, folks, when you get ready. You know, in my opinion, this is a blatant abuse of a person's right of choice. And if you really think about it, Mr. Speaker, and if everyone in this body will really think about it, here we are in a country and a state that has legally fought for and protects a woman's right to continue pregnancy. And we're passing a piece of legislation where we are not going to allow a person the ability to make up their mind as to whether or not they should buckle up. Now, if that makes sense to you, Lord help you.
Representative Zawacki.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'll try and keep my comments brief, too. I've been quiet. I live in a community, Girdwood, approximately about 35, 40 miles from my office in Anchorage. I commute probably 5 to 7 days when I'm not here. I have had the unfortunate situation over the last 5 years to help the state troopers and emergency medical services scraping people off that highway, putting them into ambulances, many of who unfortunately have died. Now, this bill, as everybody said, is probably unenforceable. But if we could have saved one of those lives or could have helped one or two of those people from being maimed for life, what they were, then I think that's what we should be looking at in this regards to this bill. And I plan on supporting it in hopes that maybe I can save another life, or we can save another life, or we can help people from being injured. Thank you.
Representative Ulmer.
Mr. Speaker, the question which was raised about the language on page 3, that is, a child safety device or safety belt, is answered if you will read page 1, subsection B. If the child is less than 4 years of age, it's a child safety device. If it's between the ages of 4 or 16, it might be either a child safety device or a seat belt. That section on page 3 simply makes it consistent. I would say in closing that freedom has its responsibilities. The individual who's driving an automobile has many restrictions placed upon that individual for safety of not only himself but everyone else. That individual is driving his car on a state-funded road. If he has an accident, he'll be picked up in a state-funded emergency vehicle. The accident will be investigated by a state-funded trooper. The person will be treated by a state-funded EMT, eventually treated by a state-funded rehabilitation person, or institutionalized at state expense. There are countless ways in which dollars can be saved in addition to lives, in addition to dreams of human beings who will not have to spend the rest of their lives in a wheelchair or in an institution. We're not only talking about lives. We're also talking about dollars. We're also talking about health. We're talking about not only the individual driver, but by the many other individuals who can be benefited by this. I would just like to say in closing, I would urge people to remember that all freedom has its responsibility, and there is a responsibility to not only yourself, but the other individuals who will be benefited by this act becoming law. Thank you.
With the motion for reconsideration available, are you ready for the question? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My concerns are in regard to the piece of legislation as it relates to school children. What kind of message are we telling those students of ours that ride in our school buses? They don't have to wear seat belts. Why? Because we don't have enough money to put seat belts in? Is that the only reason why we're excluding them from this piece of legislation? What type of message are we giving our school children when they learn by example, when they ride that bus? I think that many times we introduce legislation trying to resolve an issue, but at the same time, we are sending cross signals to many people that could benefit by an example, and maybe not have to have such legislation on the books. If we started many years ago having seat belts in the school buses, then maybe when those children grew up, they would continue to wear seat belts and save lives, and we wouldn't have to regulate the use of seat belts. And I just think that we are in society today reacting, and we're not leading our children in the right way to live. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question?
The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 167, Judiciary Amendment, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Larson.
From nay to yea.
From nay to yea. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
23 yeas, 16 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 167, Judiciary Amendment, has passed the House.
Representative Adams.
Speaker, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on my vote on committee substitute for House Bill number 167, Judiciary.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on said bill. The call of the House has been lifted. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that reconsideration of House Bill 167 be held over until Monday.
Are there any objections? Representative Adams.
Yes, I would like to object. I'd like to amend the amendment to Tuesday, May 5th, because of perhaps that some members coming back from their various communities might be weathered in.
Representative Cotton.
Stand at ease, please.
Would the House please stand at ease? 167 be held for reconsideration on Monday's calendar. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
22 yeas, 16 nays.
It'll be held over for Monday's calendar, available for reconsideration. I would be seeking a motion from the Majority Leader to take House Bill 222 and place it on the calendar for Monday. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 222 be taken off the calendar today and placed on Monday's calendar.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, so ordered. This brings us down to unfinished business. Representative Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I give notice of reconsideration of House Bill 92 and ask unanimous consent that my reconsideration be brought up the same day.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 92, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the Alaska Mental Health Trust and providing for an effective date.
It is before us for reconsideration. Representative Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd I asked to have the bill brought back before us, and I appreciate the cooperation of the prime sponsors. Since the first vote, I've obtained a copy of a letter, which I was awaiting, which makes clear that the provisions of the trust settlement, which are stated in House Bill 92, are not necessarily locked in. They're not permanent. And I guess we're faced with a situation where, on the one hand, we might be wanting the settlement to be resolved, or litigation solved, so that we can go on with our business, but still have the option to change some of the provisions that are in there, but not stray from the points 1, 2, and 3, which are on every member's desk. And with that in mind, I think that it is an acceptable bill. I think that the specific provisions I have problems with, but I also want to settle the litigation for now, and I think that this is a good way to do it. So therefore, I brought it back up, and I had this memo distributed to every member. Thank you.
Any further debate? I'm ready for the question.
The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 92, Finance Amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk, tally the board.
38 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 92, Finance Amendment, has passed the House in reconsideration. Representative Menard.
Mr. Speaker, I'd ask unanimous consent that we could move up the calendar to introduction of guests.
Hear any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Larson and I have a constituent in Gallery A down here testifying on senior issues. Please help me welcome Mrs. Jean Woods.
We have an effective date. We're under introduction of guests. Are any further introduction of guests?
Yes, while we're at it, in the same gallery seated right next to Ms. Wood, I have two people here from Ketchikan. One stays here throughout the session, that's Wally Kubley, and the other one is a dear friend of mine, and that's Bob Gore. Can you please welcome him?
Any further guests or introduction? Mr. Majority Leader, the effective
date. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have an effective date clause on this bill. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage on House Bill number 92, Finance Committee, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
We have a very brief
piece. House, please stand at ease. Same day. Hearing no objections, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 91, Hess, by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to the mentally ill and providing for an effective date.
Okay, technically the bill should be moved for reconsideration.
I move the bill for reconsideration.
Any objection? The title has been read. It's before us in third reading and under debate.
Question.
Ready for the question.
Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 91, Hess, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Did the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
31 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 91, Hess, has passed House in reconsideration.
There's no the effective dates on the other committee substitute, huh?
I have an effective date on the next.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage of the Hess Committee substitute for House Bill 91 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Unfinished business. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have been working on 132. It's the ratification of the executive restrictions for FY87. One of the problems that we have run into is on 132 has a substance law. I needed another bill to put into the appropriation, a companion bill, which we got and replaced with House Bill number 113. What I'd like to ask this particular body, if I'd be allowed to waive Rule 23A regarding the notification of the committee so I can hear the companion bill along with 132. With that explanation, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to waive Rule 23A regarding notification of committee meeting so that I may hear House Bill 113 along with 132 finance.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the notice of committee hearing is waived. Representative Gall.
When would that hearing be held, please?
Representative Adams.
Yes, that will be coming out of subcommittee and heard in finance tomorrow.
Any further unfinished business to come before this body? Representative Sund. The House, please stand at ease.
Okay.
House entities. Unfinished business, Representative Sund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've had a House Bill 285 in the Judiciary Committee. It's an act relating to private activity bonds as a finance referral. It's really a lending issue, and I'd like to have permission of the body to waive the bill from Judiciary to the next committee referral finance.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the bill is waived to next committee of referral finance. Any further unfinished business? Announcements of standing committees or special committees. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Finance Committee will not be meeting today. The one bill that we had up was House Bill 151, the longevity bonus bill. That bill will be placed on tomorrow's schedule along with the calendar. Thank you.
Representative Sund.
Mr. Speaker, due to the hour here and the lack of a quorum of Judiciary Committee starting at 3 o'clock, today's meeting will be canceled. All bills will be carried over to tomorrow, and I'd also announce that Judiciary will be meeting at 8:30 Saturday morning to pick up everything we don't get done with the calendar tomorrow.
Representative Boucher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Special Committee on Telecommunications work session this afternoon is canceled.
Okay. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Should like to remind the body the Special Committee on Foreign and Domestic Trade will host a reception for our Chinese guests today and with the assistance of our Senate counterparts, and that will be in the Speaker's chamber from 5 until 6:30. Thank you.
Representative Gall.
Mr. Speaker, could you make a few comments about our plans for Saturday, please?
The tentative plans is to have a floor session at 10 o'clock on Saturday. 10 a.m. Representative Copenin.
Thank you. House Bill 237 will be heard tomorrow in Hess. We also hope that the subcommittee on House Bills 170 and 199 will be able to bring a report tomorrow. We may hear those, if not. Monday is kept clear for subcommittees to complete their business so we can hear other bills.
Representative Davis, you've been seeking the floor.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Unfortunately, we had a long debate here today, and we kept some of our guests from out of town waiting for a long time, and some of us were supposed to have lunch with them, and they sat there waiting for us all during lunch. And I would just ask the members, if they are going to attend this reception tonight at 5 o'clock, that they arrive early and not, we've had reception in the past where people just sort of drift in, and I would like for the members to extend the courtesy to them and be there on time. Thank you.
Appreciate your comments, Representative. Representative Larson.
Yes, the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee scheduled for 12:30 today has been postponed. We'll try to reschedule that. Remember, it's only about a 10-minute meeting at 1 o'clock tomorrow. So Legislative Budget and Audit, 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Any further announcements? Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Labor and Commerce meeting today is canceled. And at 3 o'clock today, the members of the West High School ROTC will be showing a 15-minute slide presentation about their program in the Labor and Commerce Committee Room. That's room 17 on the ground floor. And all the legislators and interested members of the public are invited to attend.
Okay. Any further committee announcements? Any general announcements? Mr. Majority Leader.
Two matters. We are holding two bills for consideration on Monday. House Bill 167, seatbelts, will be on reconsideration. And House Bill 222, which is occupational licensing, will be before us in second reading. I urge the members to please retain their bill packets. Also, I'd like to announce that the Rail Belt Democratic Caucus will be meeting tomorrow, Friday, noon, in the Labor and Commerce Room.
Any further announcements? Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, the minority will meet at 4:30 in my office, and then we're going to also get together at 6 over in the court building. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Special orders? Having no special orders, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.